How many people here have got life figured out? You got your life figured out? I haven't. You got life figured out in general? You got your boss figured out? You got your spouse figured out? What about your kids? You got them figured out? No, here's the reality of it. We haven't got these things figured out, and we've got lots of questions, don't we? Lots of questions. And that's why we've been doing this series over the last number of weeks, the Got Questions series, to ask some of these questions. You know, some churches, they're afraid to ask questions. Say, oh, we don't talk about that. You know, that portion of Scripture, no, we don't do it. I think that everything should be open and up front for all of us. Amen? And so we gave you the opportunity over the last month or so to ask those questions. You sent them in on your Connect cards. You did it through Facebook, through our website. Some of you hand-delivered them to me to make sure I'd get them. You know, so they came all different ways. And so what we did, we took all of those questions, and there was a lot. I'm guessing 30, 40, 50 questions at least. We categorized them. You know, some of them were in the area of relationships, some in the area of marriage, you know, all different areas. But today I want to talk about an area that a lot of questions came in on, and that's the area of healing. And some of those questions were as simple as this: does God still heal today? Somebody just being honest, asking that, you know, probably from a place where they maybe haven't seen God heal in their lives or in the lives of those around them. Other questions was, how come God heals some people and not other people? And then I received some questions, you know, similar along the lines of, why would a good person who loves Jesus, faithful, you know, not walking in sin, die of cancer early in life? These are all honest questions. And I appreciated the honesty of people asking these questions. These are real questions. And again, sometimes what we do when we're not so sure, we kind of shy away from these. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about this. We need to talk about these things. Here's why. If you and I have questions about this, how much more does the unbeliever or the person not walking with Jesus closely have those questions? We need to have some answers for them. And maybe at times it might be, I'm not sure, but let's pray and talk about it. I'm not even saying that we will always have the answer for every question, but what I am saying is that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Spirit-filled believers, should be able to approach anyone that has a question and be able to not want to run away and hide and not want to be like an ostrich and bury our heads in the sand. That's not the way it's supposed to be for us as believers. And so if you have a question, first of all, good on you. It means you're thinking. It means that you want an answer. It means that you want to grow in your faith. That's all good. But let's get some answers today in the area of healing. So let me give you the short answer. The short answer first: does God still heal today? It is a three-letter word. It starts with Y and ends with S. Yes, God still heals today. Now there's a longer answer. Because when I say that, you right away, different ones of us are saying, but what about this? And you'll tell me a scenario of a story where someone maybe got sick and died, or you prayed for them, they got sicker, or it didn't appear that God intervened. And said, well, okay, if God heals, then why does it appear that sometimes he does something, sometimes he doesn't? How do we address these things? And I want you, you know, as I think of the prophetic word that was given, you know, God is on the cusp of doing a great thing in our lives. In fact, I think he's already doing a great thing. As I talk to some of you of what God's doing, some amazing things are going on in your life. But for the more to happen, we got to deal with the weeds. And in a sense, the weed of unbelief, the weed of misunderstanding, the weeds of other areas in our lives have to be removed out of the way so that we can walk in the clarity of what God has called us to do according to his word. And so that's what I want to do this morning is to journey through some scriptures and just show you what God says concerning healing. But before we do that, we actually have to take a step back. And let's go to Deuteronomy 29:29, verse 8. And it says this: the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever. So why would I bring that scripture up? Here's the reality of it. God knows everything, doesn't he? Absolutely everything. Do we know everything? No, we know a part of it. And in fact, it says this: the secret things belong to God. All that there is belongs to him. But there's some revealed things that he gives to us. In other words, he gives us what we need for the day that we're in. Amen? And so we need to operate in the revealed part. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes we add to the revealed part. We add our own theology to the revealed part to try to fill in the blanks. That's a very dangerous place to go. That can get you and me into trouble. And so we have to come to a place of taking what God's revealed to us, walk in that, and guess what he'll do? In Psalms 119, the psalm that we are suggested to read, right in the smack dab middle of it, Psalms 119, verse 105, it says this: the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Meaning that God will show you where you are right now, but as you continue to walk forward, he'll reveal more of himself to you. So it's not like you've got a revealed word and it's stagnant. That's it. No, as you continue to walk with him, as you exercise faith in what has been revealed to you, then more is revealed to you. That's how it works. I wish it was different. I wish it was like, God, just give it all to me. Download it all. Show me the whole picture and I'll just walk it out. He doesn't do that. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called trust. You don't need to trust if you know everything. We trust that he knows everything and that we don't. Amen? And then we walk it out. And so as we begin to look at this, we need to understand that we only know in part. You know, Apostle Paul said this: we know in part, we prophesy in part. You know, in fact, let's look at the words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, he says this. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall fully know, just as I am also fully known. Now, this is an unusual scripture, and I underlined a couple of words here. The now and the then. So let's look at the now for a minute. So the Apostle Paul says this: now we see in a mirror dimly. And then if you go on, he says, now I know in part. And so what is he saying again? He's bringing clarification really to the Deuteronomy scripture that we don't know everything. And you might say, well, hold it, in a mirror, if I look in a mirror, I can see a pretty good image, especially if you clean it off. You know, if you got out of the shower and it's a little steamy, you might not see very well. But normally, how many people have a good mirror at home? You know, you see every wrinkle, every blemish, right? Missing hair. You know, you can see it all, can't you? Here's the thing. They couldn't back then because they didn't have mirrors like we have now. The only thing they had back then was brass, and they would polish it and polish it and polish it. But the thing is, it still wouldn't be a clear image. And so when the Apostle Paul's saying this, he's saying it's like looking in a mirror dimly. In other words, you could sort of see an image. You can see part of it, but not the fullness of it. But then he says, but then face to face. So he's making a comparison. He's saying, look, there's a day coming where you and I will look into the eyes of Jesus and we will know all. That's what he's saying. But right now, at this moment, we just know portions. We know just the revealed part. I brought this piece of paper up to illustrate what I was talking about. So if I take this and I roll this up and I begin to look, oh, I can see just Tom. There's Barbara. You know, I can see only in part. And in a sense, that's how we are in life. Now imagine this big room that we have here, and imagine there was a keyhole. And there isn't a keyhole in this room, just the way it works out. But let's say it was a door with a keyhole. And you were looking in the keyhole. Could you see the entire room? No, you could only see part of it. I was watching, the kids convinced me to watch the end of this, and it was pretty cool. How many people are following the Marvel movies? I think there's like 28 or 29 of them, some crazy amount. I haven't watched them all. But they were watching a cartoon version, and it was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. How many people have seen that? Okay, I got some hands. Early service, I didn't have anybody put their hand up. I had to explain the whole thing. So anyway, in this particular movie, you have all these different spider people, because I can't say Spider-Men because you had ladies. In fact, one was a pig. You had all kinds of different spider beings coming from different universes to help save the world. And so they all come into this situation. I'm not going to give away the whole thing, all right, so you can still go watch it. So they're there, but at the end of the movie, there's one of the spider people by the name of Noor, and he comes from a Spider-Verse that is unusual. And what he had done in the movie, during the movie, he had found a Rubik's Cube. How many people know what a Rubik's Cube is, all right? They've been around a long time. So for the entire movie, he's been trying to figure out this Rubik's Cube. So at the very end, as he's saying goodbye to go back to his Spider-Verse, he says, I'm going to take this with me, and I will figure it out. And you're like, what's the big deal? Like, you can go online and watch a YouTube video to figure it out. You know, what is the big deal? So here's the thing. Noor, which is his name, lives in a black and white Spider-Verse. What's a Rubik's Cube? It's color. He's never going to figure it out because he doesn't have the ability to see in color. For you and I, sometimes we're living in a black and white world. In other words, we see things as black and white, but God lives in a color world. And so we need to understand that we're limited. And so if we're limited, here's what we need to do, is depend more on him and less on ourselves. That's the important part. See, in the area of healing, here's what I found over the last 30 years of my walk with Jesus. There's essentially two camps. There's two camps of people in the area of healing when you talk to them. One camp is this. God's going to do what he's going to do. So there's no point in worrying about it. If you're sick, okay, go to the doctor, do what you can do. But essentially, God's God, he's sovereign. It'll work out however it's going to work out. There's no point in praying about it, essentially. So that's one side of the ditch. All right, let's go to the other side. There's another group of people who basically, when you have a need and you're sick, here's what they'll say to you. You just need more faith. You just need more faith, brother. You need more faith, sister. That's what's wrong. That's why you're not being healed. And so we have these two ditches on each side. Can I tell you that there's somewhere in the middle is where God wants us to be? Is faith a part of healing? Yes. Is God's sovereignty a part of the equation as well? Yes. But somewhere in the middle is where God has called you and I to be. And so I'm going to say this again. Does God still heal today? Yes. Is God's nature and character to heal? Yes. And we need to believe that with all of our hearts. In fact, we go to the Old Testament in Psalms 107, verse 20. It says this, that God sent forth his word and healed us and delivered us from our destructions. Now, if you could put that up, please. It's a scripture that I have in my notes. So as you look at that scripture, it says this. He sent forth his word and healed us. He sent it forth. So this is in the Old Testament. I believe it was a prophetic word concerning Jesus. Because when we go to the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we learn a few verses later that that Word is Jesus. Word equals Jesus. And so look at this Old Testament scripture. This is speaking of the nature and character of God all through time, even in the Old Testament, because he never changes. It says, God the Father sent his Word. Sent who? Jesus. To do what? To heal us. And deliver us from our destructions. So let me tell you something. Healing isn't a New Testament thing. Healing is the nature and character of God. It's who he always has been and who he always will be. And we need to get this deep down within our hearts. But here's the thing. You and I know that in practice at times it can be very frustrating because some people are healed instantly. It's awesome. You know, pray for somebody. Hey, you know, it's gone. I can see. My leg grew. Yeah, it's awesome when that happens. But here's the reality of it. There's sometimes that doesn't happen. So here's the problem. You have those two groups of people on each side of the road. And so when a person isn't healed, sometimes here's what happens. They say, well, you just need a new more faith, more this, more that. And then the other person, if they prayed for you, says, well, I guess it's not God's will for you to be healed. Both are wrong. You hear what I'm saying? Both are wrong. Here's what you and I need to do as believers is to come alongside one another, believing God for healing, but letting God be God in our lives. Here's my point. God can heal instantly. I've seen it with my own eyes. But God can also progressively heal as well. And here's the thing. You and I are all on a healing journey. All of us are. All of us here. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. We have a certain amount of brokenness still in us. We're not perfect. In fact, let me take this survey. Any perfect people here? Well, that means that there's a lack in your life in some area. It means you need healing. You need restoration. There's parts that are still broken. But here's something else I'm going to tell you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have been healed. You have experienced healing. You know why? The greatest healing of all is when a lost soul is reunited with their Father in heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been healed. It's amazing. And so don't any of you tell me as a believer, don't come up to me and say, I've never seen God heal. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the greatest healing of all, the greatest miracle of all has happened in your life. And that becomes a foundation stone among the weeds, in a sense, that shows that God is a healing God. But it's the beginning of your healing journey. Now, here's the reality of it. When you and I cross from this life to the next, our healing will be complete. And there are some people who teach that. It's like, well, don't worry about your life now. You know, you'll get fixed at the end. I don't know about you. I want fixed now. You know why I want fixed now? So I can help other people now. It's all great to get healed in the end, and I'm good about that. There's no sickness in heaven. I get that, but I don't want to wait to the threshold to cross over and be made whole and complete because God wants to do it now. In fact, look at this scripture in the New Testament. It's awesome scripture. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. For by his stripes we've been what? Healed. Now, I've been in church meetings. I've been in places and heard people talking about this particular scripture. And you know what they'll do? And they're often people who are dealing with illnesses and that. They'll say, but that doesn't really mean physical healing. Let me give you the Greek word for it. That word for healed. Now, I got it right at the first service. I probably won't say it right this time, all right? It's pronounced A-O-M-E-H-E. Now, don't ask me to say it again. I'm not going to do it. Okay? Sounds pretty good right there. We'll just go with that, all right? But this Greek word, let me tell you about this Greek word, shows up 28 times in the New Testament. And in the context of every place it shows up, you know what it's talking about? Healing. Physical healing as part of it. In fact, the Strong's definition of this is this: to cure, to heal, or to be made whole. So it's there, all right? Now, when I talk about healing, I don't want to limit this to some physical ailment. Let me tell you something. When God heals, we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. Let me tell you something. I was talking to someone just yesterday who have a son that's dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. On the outside, he looks just fine. But on the inside, he's broken. Needs healing. That's just as traumatic as someone that has an arm hanging. You understand what I'm saying? We need to understand that healing is of your entire being. Now, what can happen is we get so fixated on the physical part of healing that we forget that God is actually more concerned for your soul than your body. Because your body's temporary. Your soul is eternal. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't care about your body. You just got to understand that what's God's focus? God's focus is on eternity, isn't it? And your well-being for all of eternity. In fact, Jesus made a statement, a pretty radical one in the gospel. He said, it's better to go to heaven missing an eye or an arm than to go to hell with all the members of your body. Now, a lot of Christians skirt that scripture. They read it and go, boop, I'm just not going to read that. I'll just go by it. You know why? Because it kicks them in the face. It causes them to think, what's the priority of Jesus? His priority is for your soul and for all of eternity. Now, we know that he's concerned about your bodies as well. We know that because what did he do as he walked on this earth? He healed the sick. He did it all the way through. And then at the end, as he was going up into heaven, at the end of the Gospels, he told us to heal the sick. So I'm not diminishing this at all. In Luke 9, he sends out the 12, right? And he says, go out and just pray for people and tell them I'm coming and heal the sick. And they come back and said, Jesus, it was awesome, right? So then the next chapter, chapter 10, he sends out 70. So he sends out the 12 disciples plus a whole bunch of other people. And they go out. In fact, that just dismisses, just by the way, there are some people who say that healing petered out when Peter petered out. But Jesus sent the 70 up. So it was more than the disciples. You understand what I'm saying? Just ordinary folk. People like you and me sent them out as well. And they came back and they said, man, even the devil was submitted to us. Demons jumped out of the windows. And people were healed. It was amazing. And you know what Jesus says? He says, don't rejoice in that stuff. But rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. What was he concerned about again? Primarily was eternity and souls. I'm not dismissing the whole physical part. God wants to do that. But here's the problem. When you and I focus on the physical part or on the emotional part and say, God, unless you heal me, what have we just done? We just put a condition on God. And you know what you've done? You've put a stake in the ground in your life that has a chain attached to it, and you can't move forward. Now, here's what I've learned about God. He's God, and I'm not. Have you learned that lesson yet? Because the minute you put a stake in the ground that you think you're putting God on the spot, you've just tied yourself to an event that's going to hold you back from moving forward. That's what you've done to yourself. But what we need to do as believers in God, you've got an issue. Listen, I'm not like some of those people. You've got a cold, for example. And you're wheezing. And I come up to them and say, hey, how you doing? They say, I'm fine in Jesus' name. I'm totally healed. I'm like, dude, there's snot running out of your nose. Like, here's a Kleenex. You get, in other words, come on, you know? How about just saying, look, I'm dealing with a health situation. Will you pray for me? Like, let's just be honest. Like, you know, people who deny symptoms. What is that? Yeah, it's ooh, that's right, because you're not using a Kleenex for your nose. Come on. Let's be honest. You got an illness? Let's pray about it. Let's deal with it. Let's move on. Rather than hiding it. Because in some churches, you hide it. You know why people hide it? Because they feel less than the other people there. Because what's heard at times is, if you don't have enough faith, you'll be sick. You see what I'm saying? That's not the spirit that I want to be in this place. The spirit that I want to see in this place is the Holy Spirit of God, where Jesus come alongside of everyone. He come alongside of everybody, the rich, the poor, the sick, the helpless. And what did he do? He loved on every one of them. That's the spirit in which we need to be. And so here's the thing. If we're of the faith category where we believe, hey, we just need more faith. When you're talking to that person, if you told it to them once, how about we just love on them? Because if you keep beating them up with that, it becomes condemnation. It does. I've been there. I've been at the receiving end and the giving end. I've seen it all around me. If you're in the ditch where you just believe that God's going to do what he's doing, that's not a right attitude either. How do you pray for somebody like that? Let me tell you how they do it. This is how those kind of people do it. This is how it happens. Those kind of people in that ditch. Well, God, if it be your will, just heal Anthony. If it be your will, Lord God, whatever your will is, Lord. Why are we even bothering praying then? That's just stupid. Don't do that. Don't do that. Jesus never did that. In fact, Jesus would go into the mountains. He would pray. He would come down from the mountains. And the word says this. With a word, he would drive out demons. With a word, he would bring healing. You know what? He knew what God wanted to do. He knew what the Father wanted him to do. That's how you and I need to pray for people. So if I hear you do mamby-pamby prayers here, I'll slap you. I will. I will, because you're null and voiding God. In fact, you know what you're doing? You're using the word of God in vain. It's vanity. And you might say, well, I thought vain, that's cursing God. Are we honoring God when we're praying mamby-pamby prayers? If you don't know what God is saying in a situation, better for you not to pray till you know the heart of God. So come on now, let's get with the program, you know, and do what God's called us to do as believers, encouraging one another. And that doesn't mean at times, for example, there are times where someone comes up and I'll begin to pray and I'll say, Lord, you know, what are you saying here? And I'll only say the part that I know God has said. And I've learned to bite my tongue till it bleeds, because sometimes I want to say what I want to say. But is it going to honor God if it's not his word? Better to say just the one word God says than 100 words of blah, 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 blah. Come on now. Come on now. Healing is for today, and we need to do it God's way. Not our own way. Out of our limited understanding. Because here's the problem. I was talking with someone just this week, and I asked him the question. He had dealt with a back issue. And so it had been a progressive healing. So I asked him, and I said his name. I said, what if you've been healed instantly? What if God had done that miracle? I said, what would you tell everyone else? And he was honest about it. He said, I tell everyone else that God heals instantly. What's wrong with you? And I said, could it be that God allowed a progressive healing so that you'd have compassion on others? And he said, absolutely, I needed that. Now, I'm not suggesting God does that to everyone here. But what I am suggesting is that when we've experienced both sides of it, instant healing and a progressive healing, it gives us a lot more grace towards others. And that's what we need to have. You know, Sandra, my wife, a number of years ago, in fact, probably 27, 28 years ago, we were at a church meeting, and she had dealt with a major health issue back then. And basically, her hands and feet would be ice cold, even in the summer. It could be like 100 degrees out. Ice cold. And the other thing that would happen is her fingers and toes would crack and bleed like all the time, all year round. That was going on in her life. It was horrible, a painful thing for her to deal with. So we were at a church meeting and there was a prophetic word, and she went up and got prayed for. And we never told, this isn't something you go telling people, oh yeah, I just bleed all the time. You just don't tell people stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And so she went up and the guy prayed for her. And here's the thing, prayed for her, said, hey, you've got a circulation issue. This is what the Spirit of God says. Boom. We went home. From that day forward until now, she's never had that problem. Instant healing. Instant healing. Instantly. Now, I'll tell you, if my life experience was just that, I'd probably be the guy saying, hey, you pray, God heals you. It doesn't work that way all the time. So let's fast forward in time to about 3.5 years ago. Just before I was going to become lead pastor here, Sandra started feeling really ill. Dealing with all kinds of health issues. She'd have pain in her shoulder, and then a week later it'd be pain in her ankle. It would swell, and then her hip. It was weird, you know what I'm saying? We were praying, we're laying hands, we're doing everything we can, you know, and God, you know, what is going on? Went to the doctor. Doctor says, you know, it's in your head, it's this, it's that. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have any idea. So I came here to church. In fact, it got so bad that Sandra couldn't even dress in the morning to get dressed or undress at night. I had to help her get dressed and undressed. Could you imagine? She's in tears, I'm in tears, everybody's sad. You know what I'm saying? And meanwhile, she's looking after grandchildren. You know, it's just unbelievable what she went through. And so here's what happened. I came here to pray. And I said, God, what's the deal? What is going on? And here's what God instantly said. She's got Lyme's and needs treatment. Just like that. And I said, well, Lord, don't the doctors know all this stuff? And he says, just go tell them. So we went to the doctor. He said, no way. Nah. I said, look, will you please test? Anyway, all the flags. She had Lyme's. Full-blown Lyme's. Turns out she probably had it for a year, year and a half. And what had happened, it got down into her bones. It was horrible. And so literally at that point, I was actually going to step out of ministry. I didn't make this a public thing, but literally because she was dealing with so much, I felt I needed to step away. But the Lord said, no, it's going to be okay. We need to push on. And so Sandra and I covenanted at that moment. I remember, you know, a time where she's still in pain because the medicine, nothing was working. And so we made this covenant together. We got before the Lord and we both said this and I still remember it to this day. And I said, honey, this is what we've decided to do. As long as we can run with Jesus, we're going to run. As long as we can walk with Jesus, we'll walk. And if we can't walk anymore, we're going to crawl after him no matter what. We made a decision to say that regardless of this, we're not going to let it be a stick in the ground that's a chain attached to it to hold us back. And we pushed on. So fast forward a little bit more time. The Lord gave me the name of a person that we'd known a number of years ago that deals with Lyme issue. And I'm like, I'm not. I just kind of kept blowing this person off. I'm not going to do it. So I'm at Stop and Shop with Sandra. We're shopping. And so we're in there, you know, and the Lord just put this person on my heart. Man, you need to call this person. You need to call this person. So I've got my phone out. I have my phone and I'm looking to see if I have their number in my phone. And I walk around the corner and I run into her. She didn't live in the area. You got to understand. She didn't even live in the area. I said, what are you doing here? She said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, I live here. I said, you better have a story. She goes, well, I normally don't come here ever shopping, but I just felt to come into the store. So we tell her the story. Immediately, God bless her. Immediately, she grabs hold of Sandra and prays for her. Immediately. And within a week of beginning treatment, the healing began. Within a week. Now, would I like to say God did it all supernaturally? But God can do whatever God wants to do. Are we willing to open our understanding instead of having that narrow little vision of how we perceive things based upon our experience? Or are we willing to open our arms and our heart and say, God, you can heal me any way you want. Slow, fast, medium. You get what I'm saying? However you want to heal me, I let you. And so let me leave you with a couple of thoughts. How do you and me, how do we receive healing? I want to give you three simple steps. Very simple. How about this? Believe that God still heals today and loves you. Kind of fits with some of the songs and the prophetic words that we've heard today, right? Believe that God still heals today and that he loves you. See, as long as you believe or think that sickness comes from God, how can you believe the same God's going to heal you? Sickness comes from the fallen nature of man. Comes from Satan, not from God. God is the answer to healing, not the source of it. And we need as believers to settle ourselves with that. Because there's different denominations, different groups of people that still teach and preach that if you're sick, it's God's judgment on you. If you're sick, it's because you've done something wrong. Come on, can we get past that? You know, as mature believers, can we throw that untruth out of our lives and receive the simple one that God still heals today and that he loves you? He's a good, good father. Somehow I heard that this morning a couple times. You know, he's a good, good father. All right, step two. Be open-hearted and open-minded as to how he wants to heal you. Come on now, all right? You know, when you go to the doctor, do you normally tell them the prescription? Do you have it all written out? And you go to the doctor and say, this is what I want. No, the doctor checks you out. I know some people are laughing in the back, and you do, and that's okay. But most of us, the idea is the doctor should know what the problem is. And then he writes a prescription, and what do you need to do? You need to follow that prescription. But many of us write our own prescriptions. We're like, God, I want you to do it this way. And again, what are we doing? We're putting that stake in the ground, tying a chain to ourselves, limiting what God could do and wants to do in our lives. All right, The third one is the most important of all. Follow the prescription. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, here's the thing. We don't have to go to a doctor for a prescription. The Word of God has given us a prescription. So let's take a minute and look at it. There's one place in Scripture. It literally prescribes how to be healed. And we're going to actually do the prescription today. So here it is. It's in James 5, verses 13 to 16. It's right there. It's a prescription in how to be healed. Right there. Is anyone among you suffering or sick? Let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up if he has committed sins. He will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's break this down a little bit. Look back at verse 13. You want to pop verse 13 back up again. And so it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. See, this is a mistake for many of us as believers. We instantly were sick. So we start to shoehorn Scripture into our situation. Years ago, I was on the road with a traveling evangelist. I've told this story a couple times, but it's worth telling. I was on the road with this guy, and the big thing about him was, you know, healing, faith. You know, you just got to have more trust, you know, and God will do anything, that kind of preaching. And you know, there's elements of truth to that. But any truth taken to an extreme is heresy. Any truth taken to an extreme. And so I had this tooth that had acted up just a little bit before I was on the road, and it went into full-blown pain. I couldn't sleep for days at a time. I'd be walking in the hotel room just proclaiming, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed, you know, and God sent forth his word and healed me, you know, I'm dying. I could not sleep because of the pain. So after a number of weeks, we finished on the road. I came back, and I'm still trying because, again, the teaching was you need to stand in faith. You know, I'm standing. In fact, all I could do was stand because I couldn't sleep. So I'm standing all the time. And so finally, I gave up. I said, I just got to go to the dentist. So for me, because of the doctrine, the teaching I was under, I actually felt I had failed God. There's some of you here. That's the teaching you're under. That when you go to a doctor or a dentist or any healthcare professional, that you actually are deserting God. That's not true. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's weeds in our garden. Untruths that are there, disguised as truth. So I go to the dentist, and he's going, geez. I hate it when they do that because you know it's going to be bad. So he says, look, you can have a root canal, but I'll be honest with you. You come 6 months ago, and by the way, that's when the pain started. I could have fixed it, but now I don't think I can. So I said, pull it out. That's all I could say. So $75 later and feeling a whole lot better, the tooth got yanked out. So I go home. And I'm there for a couple weeks. And I want to tell you something. I felt defeated. Because of the teaching I'd been under, I felt that I had missed God somehow. Must have misinterpreted the scriptures. I missed God. So I'm shaving one day. I'm standing in front of the mirror, looking into the mirror dimly. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, son, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm shaving. Because you got to understand, I'm pretty grumpy towards God at that time. You know, it's like, so he's showing up trying to be nice, right? And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm shaving. You know, that was kind of my attitude. And he said, son, you know when you had your tooth problem? I said, yeah, I do. You know, and you didn't show up. All these things, you know, and I'm griping and complaining. You know, why didn't you show up? Why didn't? And you know what he said, son? He said this. He said, son, did you ever ask me about that? Did you ever pray? If anyone is suffering, let him pray. What does that mean? Talk to God. In other words, don't just start shoehorning scriptures in things that you think you should fit in, because all of a sudden you've got that narrow-mindedness of maybe what somebody taught you, and that's what I did. I just took what I've been taught, shoehorning it into my situation. But it says right here to pray. You know what that means? Talk to God. Talk to him. And I said, no, I thought that you just wanted me to be healed. And you know what he said? He said, yeah, I did want you to be healed. So a little more time, I'm shaving a little longer, and I said, well, Lord, what would you have told me? Go to the dentist. That's literally what he said. So two things happened at that moment. First of all, I repented because literally it was on me. And second of all, a fresh joy filled me again. That I'd missed God, yet he was still for me and not against me. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to help us. But the thing is, we got to do it his way, and it begins with prayer. So let's move on to the next scripture verse. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to do the prescription. We're going to do what the Bible says. And then it goes on, it says in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Let's see, verse 15. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, it will be forgiven. Let me tell you something. Some of the sicknesses that come upon us is because of sin. Because of sin weeds that are in our garden that we need to repent of. Not all, but some. And we need to be open in our communication with the Lord to say, hey, have I missed it? Am I sinning? Is it causing a sickness in my body, in body, soul, or spirit? And ask God about it. Talk to him. And don't blow him off. I did that. Not good. Don't do that. Don't try to shoehorn your own stuff in. All right, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I quote that bottom part of that portion of Scripture thousands of times. But this week, God connected something. Look at this Scripture. It says, confess your trespasses to one another. And then it says what? Pray for one another that you may be healed. So basically it's saying, look, if you've got aught, offenses with someone, you've done something wrong to someone, you need to get right with them. And then look at what it says. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the same person as above. Meaning that when we get right with the people around us, then our prayers become effective. I never put two and two together before till this week. And so some of our prayers are hindered because we're in sin. There's weeds in our garden. Back to the weed thing. There's weeds in our garden that need to be pulled, that need to be dealt with. And if we do that, it could open up the stream of healing immediately into our lives. But here's the reality of it, church. God wants to heal you.